You're listening to Otaku Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo.
Today's episode is a discussional podcast episode. We talk about the news that seems important to us, that should be important to you because it's important to us, then dive into our community and answer some great questions from our community members. So, with that said, how has the last 2 weeks been?
Pretty brittle on the sinuses, but other than that, pretty all right.
It's so sad that when you're like in a public place or something, well, I guess it was that way before, you know, like in a public place and somebody's like sneezing, they just have to like mention that they're sinuses. It's like, it's okay. Don't think that you have some bad thing. Just don't sneeze towards me. It's fine. But yeah, it's been all right. Thankfully, I have not had allergy issues, even despite the fact that this area just has terrible, like compared to anywhere else, terrible allergy things. So it's like super, super allergies around here, or super pollen. That's what they say. Yeah.
Well, with me, my sinuses kick off my migraines, and it's absolutely... I'm tired of laying in bed for hours on end.
Yeah, yeah. No bueno, no bueno. Genshin's been pretty boring. We're waiting for Ito to come out, even though they've technically just killed all their possible banner roles for Ito with the recent news of the two new characters. Because, I mean, waifus are obviously going to make you not want to roll for husbandos, unless... The husband is what you're looking for. I guess it's right, too.
Right?
It's funny that the Genshin Twitter account even acknowledges the fact that it's like spear, javelin, slash whatever impact, because literally the two new girls are both spear users.
Yeah.
We have way too many spear users.
And not enough spears to justify all the spear users.
Well, they have plenty of spears, unless you mean like just making like Homa type stuff where it's specifically built for a particular character.
I don't know. It seems like when I go through my list of weapons, I've got, you know, page of one hand swords, pages of two hand swords. I've got pages of books, but barely half the screen is filled with spears.
I guess. I don't know. I just go for, like, main stats and substats, and then pretty much anything else is extra.
Pretty much.
I don't really care too much about having, like, I guess, like I said, in the case of, like, Albedo, the particular one where it increases your crit damage or your crit rate based on your health, which is, like, perfect for him because you don't have him on the field or whatever, so.
So what do you...
But like I said, Homa being specifically for, you know, Zhongli and Hu Tao.
So what's your opinion? I was... mentioning it last night, what do you think? Should I go for the C1 Eula, or should I go ahead and be completionist and grab Albedo? I'm probably not going to pay on that banner, but...
Are you going to go for Ito and I call him Ushio.
He's I'm definitely going to... I don't know that I'm going to pay for Ito, but I'm definitely going to be pulling for him, but...
Because, I mean, if you're going to do a... like a full Geo group, I mean, Albedo is perfect. I mean, he's literally built. I mean, that's why lately I've just been running with Zhongli and Albedo, because they're just perfect together. Because they give that, you know, the shield damage increase plus, you know, Albedo is perfect off field.
I am also, I was going to mention, I am kind of, for the first time, I'm actually regretting that I didn't actually pull for Kokomi's weapon. Because of the, now that she's got a, that artifact set, which works on her HP, and how it would possibly stack. If she had that weapon, that would be kind of a really awesome.
I think that's a really bad path to go down. I mean, that's just like the Hu Tao or the Staff of Homa. It's like, I so badly wanted to roll for it when it came back. And it's like, just don't want to. I'm just going to hope that, because the Homa should be in the regular banner, right? Because I know I got the Jade Spear, and I think the Jade Spear used to be a banner limited thing.
As far as I know, it's
I don't
not.
Think any of them are limited.
As far as I know, they are all specific to that that weapon banner.
So the limited banners.
Yes.
I thought weapons went into the regular banner afterwards. That's
not
crazy.
Not as far as I know.
Wasn't Jade Spear a limited banner?
I don't know.
And
on
I got
that
off of the regular story mode banner.
I honestly don't know. Some things end up on the standard banner, some things don't.
I know like limited 5 stars don't, but the 4 stars do. So I don't know. It's weird, but yeah, I don't know. I think I'm going to see how good Ito ends up being, but I might pull on him. I'm not sure. Because, yeah, I mean, obviously, when they show the waifu characters, like, yeah, I really want that 4. I'm assuming she's a 4-star. Yeah, the Eula wannabe girl, maybe. Maybe. Again, depending on how good she is. But
who, Shinhei?
Yeah.
I definitely want Shinhei. That's for a fact. And Yujin would be just a nice cherry on the top if I get her on the... I'm hoping those two are together on the same banner.
Should be if one's a 4-star. Should be, but we'll see.
I'm assuming what they're going what they're doing with this patch is probably what they're going to do for all the future patches, where you have the rerun banner, which has two characters and your main. Either they're going to stagger them of one. The first 2 or 3 weeks is going to be Ito, and then the second 2 weeks is the dual rerun banner. And then they'll just do that for going.
No, they're
forward.
they're doing the reruns first.
All right, and then flip the way. Either way, it's staggered. Is my point.
Yeah, that's the problem right now. It's like it's going to be like forever before even Ito comes out. Just feels like it's going to be forever. He'll probably be like, I don't know, late December if anything.
Yeah,
and then it'll go into the next year. But like I said, I just hope they don't drag out 2.0 as long as they did 1.0, because eventually people are going to get bored.
Yeah, it already feels like they're dragging it out, and that kind of sucks. But we don't really know what the content is that's coming in the next couple patches. So we know,
because if you think about it, about 2 months ago was when they released the last of the islands. So like everything is now revealed.
Yeah, we're going back to Dragon Spines, so we're getting a rehash of some of that content, which will probably introduce a new dungeon. Because we got the artifacts coming up, so that means there's going to be a new dungeon of some sort. Then we should, which there was speculation on the chasm coming out this patch, so it looks like 2.4 is probably going to be, especially since we're getting new Liyue characters, so that means the chasm should be coming out, hopefully.
What's the chasm?
The chasm is what's going to take us to Sumeru.
Oh, gotcha. Cool.
It's right there on the edge, you know, where that kind of mining town is in that area just above Liyue. Mm-hmm. There's a path that goes out into the unknown. The chasm is over there somewhere.
Mm. Cool stuff, though. Cool stuff. We'll see. I gotta get back into Final Fantasy 14 anyways, because it's like literally not even 10 days out.
I don't even want to think about Final Fantasy 14 right now.
I at least need to get back in the game, finish my Lancer, and then or Dragoon, and then get my packs all emptied out. I got to pick every expansion. You got to clear out your bags, and I need to do that so that I'm not going to be fumbling with stuff when it comes out.
I just need to finish the content, and I haven't even effectively started.
Yeah, I need to finish. I still have some main story quest stuff to finish too. That's the other problem that I have. I don't even know how long that's going to be.
Yeah, because I haven't even gotten to max level. And once you get to max level, then you have all the patches that you have to go through.
Yep.
Like, storyline quests. That's all why I'm saying content. Yeah, that's why I'm saying I don't even want to think about that right
and
now.
And the other problem is you don't want to skip any of it. That's the problem.
Yeah, true.
You can't skip any of it because that's especially like good
with,
story.
Yeah, especially with as much as people or have been good, hyping up.
Excellent story.
As much as people have been hyping up the storyline for this particular expansion, it's one of those that I am very frustrated that I haven't finished up.
You just need to like set everything aside and just binge game it for several weeks. It's going to literally take you probably 2 weeks at the least if you actually read and watch it all. So
who knows? Poor Chris. Maybe I'll stream that today.
Poor Chris. And that's the thing. I need to start getting into streaming that because it's going to come. I'm going to stream the next expansion. And so just getting people comfortable, getting my setup comfortable and stuff for it would be good too. So yeah,
it's good stuff. Just wish I could play on the controller. That's the one thing that I am most frustrated with.
You can.
I know I just can.
You want to get used to it.
I don't like tanking on the controller. I flat out don't.
I think tanking and healing's just, well, healing's okay, but yeah, tanking no, because you're literally tab targeting.
Yeah.
You're literally tab targeting, which is not good. You need to be able to like click target to get them quicker, so, or specifically anyways, but yeah, that's around the corner. That's, like I said, literally like I think 9 days away, so it was supposed to be like now, but again, I think I'm kind of thankful that they delayed it.
I do know that the pre-patch has popped up on my thing. I seen that last night. I need to just go ahead and start that up.
Yeah, 2.4's pre-patch is up too. Not sure if you downloaded that.
Yeah, I already downloaded that.
Yeah. Good stuff. I need to probably get that Final Fantasy one. So, yeah. Anyways, the news that should be important too, because it's important to us. That's important to us. Our first one we have here is Maiden Abyss, second season, gets a new trailer, subtitled, and a new key art. So definitely starting to pick up the hype for that. Obviously, the second season is supposed to be in April, ? Right? Wasn't it spring? I think it's supposed to be spring. I feel like I thought it was spring. But yeah, right around the corner, not too far away, new trailer. Tons of reveals in there, so ? If you want to jump into that trailer or not, it's kind of getting into a lot of new characters that it's going to be covering in the new season. So, but I'm hyped for it. I'm super hyped for it. I've been missing Maiden Abyss. I mean, the movie was great and all, but it just feels like it wasn't enough. Well, it wasn't great because it was very, very traumatic, but that's Maiden Abyss for you. It's not always supposed to be hunky dory, and I think it's only going to get it darker. Like, I just feel like it's just gonna get darker and darker.
Well, so. Seeing as how everybody looks like they haven't slept in, like, 2 months, I'm going to assume it's getting darker.
Is that Bondrude, by the way? The guy that was up earlier? It looks like he has a helmet on his head that's kind of flapped up that looks like Bondrude's. That one. The one on the right. You think that's Bondrude?
I don't know.
We'll see. I'm assuming it's Bondrude. Maybe it's a backstory for Bondrude. I hope not, because I hate Bondrude. I don't know. They might end up making me like him as a character, and I'm like, no. I mean, they were trying to technically justify him a little bit, because that's technically good storytelling, but yeah. Good stuff. I'm super excited for it. It just says 2022 on air.
I'm going to assume
that's we seen that it was in spring.
That's got to be all backstory.
I think it's going to be back. I think they're going to tell a story of Bondrude. I literally think this is Bondrude. He's got his helmet, but yeah.
I wonder if that's Mama.
Mama?
Mm-hmm.
Who's Mama?
Blondie's mom.
Blondie's mom?
Mm-hmm. I don't remember what...
they talked about...
What her...
Are you talking about... Oh, you're talking about the main girl's mom.
Yeah.
I got you. Rico? Yeah, Rico. I don't know. Could be. You think that she knew Bondrude? If my assumption that is Bondrude... By the way, people in the comments, you don't have to confirm nor deny. I don't want to know. I'm speculating. Right? It's like people jump in the comments like, hey, by the way, it's this. It's like, I wasn't really asking. I'm just speculating.
I don't know if you've looked in our Jobless Reincarnation cast and all the comments.
So
there.
Afraid of reading any of that stuff.
I border on the edge of saying you don't want to. People were so helpful. They gave us so much information on
This is literally my life now, Chris, for the last year. This is literally my life.
You want to take a wild guess as to what they went into?
I don't even want to know what they went into. That's spoilers, Chris.
It's not.
Yes, it is. It's saying that they went into something. Then I think back to what we talked about, and thus I connect what it is, and then it spoils things. You don't understand how my mind works, Chris.
All right. The stuff that they went into, it was very helpful. I don't think they did any real spoilers, so I'm kind of happy of that.
That did really well. Like, there's like a huge craving for people to just talk about Mushoku Tensei.
Yeah. And
I almost was tempted just to see if we can set aside some time every week to talk about the episode. I don't think it's good for us to do it on our podcast day just because it's like, four days out from... No, it's technically only like 2 days out from the episode airing, but... Just maybe just doing like short casts for each episode whenever there's something really good in there that we want to talk about. But yeah, there's a craving for it.
Yeah. Everybody seemed to be very, very excited about what we talked about. And like I said, they were trying to be very helpful with explaining things we were concerned about. But it was fun. But at the same time, going back to what we were saying is it's really hard to balance between, because knowing that the source material is out there, when we speculate, it's really frustrating to balance between helping us out and trying to get no spoilers in there. It is one of those things that I understand. So
every single anything that has source material that I'm covering on a weekly basis, there's going to be somebody. Like Yukien as a Hero is big heavy right now with that. Ranking of Kings is really annoying because there's a lot of people that want to spoil things with Ranking of Kings. I mean, Muvlove, I think the Muvlove's been really good. Like, Muvlove people are, like, super considerate about that kind of stuff. Like, there's so many people that are responding, and they're like, you know, you're doing a good job in covering this. It's really cool to see the insights of somebody that hasn't seen the source material. And then there's, you know, there really isn't any effort to spoil things. But, yeah, Mushoku Tensei, Yuki Yuna, Ranking of Kings, it's like, I have to be careful about what I read, because people, again, I know they want to help, but at the same time, they don't have that barrier to stop and go, wait, maybe he doesn't want to know about this. Maybe he's speculating. Let him speculate. That's why I like covering the originals. It's like, because nobody knows. And then we can actually talk about, and I don't have to worry about while we're talking about what we think is going to happen.
Yeah, I think that, so like I said, I think that the folks who did the job list, they were trying to be very, very considerate about it. And the stuff that they revealed was literally a question that we had, that it wasn't, yes, we were speculating about it, but they weren't really spoiling per se, just actually explaining what it was we were asking. And that's the frustrating thing. It's like, would you consider it a spoiler? I don't know. I mean...
Well, that's the other problem, because there's obviously people that are going, you know, look, there's actually explanations to Paul's side of the argument with that whole thing with the two of them, and it's like, I don't want to read on any further because I don't know if they're going to eventually cover it.
That I do understand. And that was like literally when I was saying this, I don't think it's really a spoiler. I went into the one thing involved with Geese, and it's like that I don't really consider a spoiler. What they were talking about, I don't really consider a spoiler. But at the same time, I do know things that you tend to be a little bit more sensitive to certain things, but that's only because of the way that your mind works. You tend to read into things a lot more than I do.
I just go down a rabbit hole.
Yeah,
and that, I mean, that's just like the Geese as well. I've seen people talk about that Geese has some things that were not really covered in the anime. And it's like, again, what they didn't cover what happened with Eris during that entire episode 16 situation. Well, guess what? There's an OVA. So if I would have gone, oh crap, they skipped something. Well, what'd they skip? It's spoiled because they actually had an OVA come. What's to say they won't have a Geese episode? What's to say they won't have a Paul episode or whatever? But I don't know. It's rough. And that's the other thing, is it's not really so much like you seeing a spoiler in something that somebody else won't. It's more of an aspect of you don't know how bad it's going to be until you read it. So it's like if they say it's not really big a spoiler, but they didn't cover this thing, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, okay, well, obviously it's not that big of a deal because they're talking... No, that's huge. Wait, why'd you tell me that? I don't want to know that because now I'm going to expect it. It's always a struggle. I mean, and I keep telling people, it's like, well, just read the light novel because they do this and this and this much better. And it's like, well, then I can't cover it. Like, there's no reason for me to cover the show because I'll know what happens. I can't speculate on things. I can't have fun with that. most of the majority of my episode impressions is me speculating on stuff and really kind of diving into what's happening with the characters. And if I read the source material, I can't really do that anymore. Like I said before, the 2-year Eternity is a big example. I couldn't really cover that show because I read the source material. It was fun seeing how they adapted things, but there's no fun there to talk about. There's no discussion to be had, unfortunately. I mean, Maiden Abyss, I was really tempted to get into, and I'm glad I didn't because we have a second season coming out, so I can actually get the adaptation version instead. So, yeah. Crazy. But yeah, looking forward to Maiden Abyss. I don't know how we got into the conversation, but that stems the breaks. Another one that I'm actually interested in getting back into with the source material is Interview with Monster Girls. Apparently, it is set to end on the 11th volume, which will be releasing in fall 2022. So it seems like they are kind of building into the final volume. I'm assuming that they have released the 10th. Yeah, they released the 10th compilation book. And in that one, they said, hey, by the way, 11th's the final one. So they're obviously releasing the chapters that will be compiled into the 11th and final volume. So that's coming. Next year, late next year, they'll have the final of the chapters of that series. And like I said, I'm really, it was kind of one that I was, yes, hoping that would have more adaptation, but definitely one that I would love to read. So maybe I'll start diving into that one sometime mid next year so I can read the final chapter when it comes out. But good stuff. I'm excited. Exciting stuff. Next we have is Slow Loop Anime PV has revealed a January 7th premiere date. And quite a bit of the news that we'll have in this particular podcast episode will probably be around premiere dates being announced, what's kind of confirmed coming out next season, because that's right around the corner. Technically, in 3 weeks, we will be doing our preview. So,
yeah, it's about that time.
Unfortunately, the last preview that we did was a little bit late, or the last winter preview anyways. I looked in our logs, because I always try to figure out where about we do our previews, just to get an idea, because we got a sweet spot for a lot of them.
Well, last year, things were
I was really kind of somewhere else, and I wasn't deciding if I wanted to continue on with the podcast and stuff, so we were like a week into the winter season before we got our preview out, but it was worth it, because previews kind of work as what's to come, but also what to expect. And I think getting in more information about what's currently in a season is a good thing. So, yeah, I'm excited. 3 weeks out, we'll be doing our preview. And it looks like already we have one of our first Moe cute girls doing cute things show, which is Slow Loop. Again, it's premiering January 7th. The Slow Loop manga centers around Hiyori, a girl who enjoys fly fishing by the beach, and an activity passed down by her late father. On one typical day at the beach, she happens to meet Koharu, who happens to be her new stepsister and her mother's new marriage. So,
I'm kind of hoping my show comes up next season. I'm so tired of waiting on that.
Diary of Our Day at the Breakwater, maybe? Similar to that? Definitely looks cute. Has some good character designs. It's being done by Studio Connect, so
I think that's what we were mentioning when we first heard about this one, was the a different take on the Breakwater.
Character designs look like the climbing one.
Encouragement to climb.
Encouragement to climb. Let's see if that's right. Let's see if I'm right. characters. Designing characters.
Reisuki. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, Reisuki, I think. Yeah. Encouragement of climb. No, I'm wrong. I mean, it only looks like it in the key art, so. Interesting stuff. So, yeah, good stuff there. Moving on, we have a return of an ecchi show. I'm actually kind of excited about this. I mean, it's been a long time since we've had, like, a combat ecchi show. I mean, there was a period of time where we had them at least once a season, but they're like the combat shows where, you know, skirts get flying up, people get beat up kind of stuff. But yeah, Ikitosen is coming back. The official website for Ikitosen has revealed that Shin Ikitosen manga is getting an anime adaptation. They have it set for a premiere date of spring 2022, and they also revealed a key art for it as well. So again, fans of Ikitosen, be excited for some ecchi combat stuff. So
this will probably be a good excuse to go and redo all that stuff.
Yeah, how long was the original? I forget.
It's been years.
Ikki, Tosin. Because I think they only had one season, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I know that there was one for sure.
So, 13 episode, and then Dragon Destiny was a 12 episode. And then Great Guardians was 12 episodes. And then Extreme Executioner was 12 episodes. And then Shugaku Toshi.
I don't think I got that much of it watched, so.
I don't think so either. And then we had an OVA, single episode OVA, 43 minutes. And then we had a two episode OVA of 25 per episode. And then we had a 30 minute, three episode OVA. That's it. Finally, jeez. That went on.
Hey, I know it was popular. You're looking at probably 50
episodes. I think you're looking at like 50 episodes worth of time. So, yeah, maybe. We'll see how busy the beginning of next year is. Might get caught up and do something on that. But I'm like I said, I don't remember exactly how much of the original one I watched. Because that's been quite a while ago. The original, I think, was, what, 2010? Spelling it wrong. Tosin. I think it was a while back. Maybe 2005. I'm going to say 2005. 2003.
I thought it was a while ago that they did that one.
Good stuff, though. Good stuff. Is it the same studio, JC Staff?
Doubt it.
I don't know if they've said what studio yet, so...
It's probably been passed around a few times.
You think this is like High School DxD or whatever, where they kind of shift around? Yep, ARMS is the second one. ARMS, I think ARMS is probably the rest of it. ARMS TNK. ARMS, yeah, it's just pretty much, it switched to ARMS and stayed with ARMS. Yeah. I'm interested. I'm excited. I have to remember exactly how much I've watched of the original, but that's cool. Good stuff. Moving on, some sad news. 86 is set to have two additional upcoming delays for those that are, I guess, not in the loop, but kind of wondering why your stuff is being so weirdly released. Episode 18 finally came out this last Saturday, and during that time, they immediately announced that episode 19 and 20 are going to see delays as well. Essentially, this coming Saturday, we will not have episode 19. Instead, it would be the following Saturday. And then they already announced that episode 20 is not going to be able to release on the original date because of some special broadcast that's happening. So what that basically means for everybody is that we're pretty much on a bi-weekly schedule. So episode 19 is going to release on December 4th, and episode 20 is going to release on December 18th if there's no further delays. Yeah, which basically means the show is going to end like a week into the winter anime season on January 8th. So sucks, but at the same time, like I always say, I'd rather have a good episode and it be delayed than a bad episode. So, bummer. Especially now that Chris is finally into it. Now he has to wait bi-weekly to get it.
Right?
You should have waited a little bit longer. That way you can watch everything at once. But it's getting harder and harder to deal with the delays just because, gosh, there's so much good stuff happening in the episode. This last episode was just so good. So good. It's getting progressively better. Like every episode, the show gets better and better. I can't wait for more. Had a really fantastic episode because Tama did a really fantastic job voicing.
If they hurt my Tama, I'm just trashing the whole thing. I'm giving
don't
everybody
worry,
a heads
she,
up. I like the show right now. They hurt Tama, I'm trashing it.
Don't worry, she's not going with them. I don't think that they would kill off Tama. I think that she's probably going to be emotionally wrecked, but I don't think she's going anywhere. I don't know that the writer would do that, but technically, we're only like, I think that people are speculating that this is only going to cover the third volume, and there's 10 volumes, so I don't think we're going to have like a conclusive end. So, but like, hopefully they can find a good stopping point.
Do you realize how much of a spoiler that is? Just that alone.
That is technically a spoiler.
That is a massive spoiler.
Knowing that something doesn't come to an end.
Yeah.
Even though it technically can run off and cover something
now,
else.
Yeah, I agree. They could go a totally different route and actually countries. I even that's even spoiler just mentioning that. But man, just
because from the beginning of the show, you didn't even know anything else existed. So you just technically spoiled that, Chris.
God, yeah, right.
anyways, additionally, for those that are reading the light novel, Apparently, the recent Bunko, Dengeki Bunko has announced that the next 86 light novel volume is going to be delayed due to Asato's poor health. So hopefully everything is going well with her and that she can recover quickly. That's don't mind the delay. Just hope that she gets better. So that's it for the 86 news, though. Let's move on. For those that don't like 86, because I don't know, there's a weird thing about people not liking 86 now. So the new Sword Art Online, our new ex-girlfriend is 86.
Oh, they did not. Oh my gosh.
What?
I jumped ahead too much.
Oh. Anyways,
that's exciting to me.
What, with the current one that we're doing?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So I don't have to worry about jumping forward just to cover you. Yen Press has announced that at Anime NYC, pretty much the next like five news bits is about Anime NYC, by the way. A lot of stuff that was announced out of there. Yen Press has announced that they are going to be releasing audiobooks for the following titles. Spice and Wolf, which will begin on March 15th for the first one. Soma Spider So What and Rascal Does Not Dream of Bunny Girl Senpai. So, Chris, super excited for Soma Spider So What getting an audiobook?
Actually, Spice and Wolf, but yeah, Spider So What, yes, too. I do kind of want to do Spider. Not so much Rascal. I might grab it for Andy if he wants it, but as it stands now, those two for sure. I really hope they don't get stuck on. There is other alternatives to audiobook releases, so I'm hoping that it's going to go some one of these other places, so I don't have to resubscribe to the one that I used to do.
Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon. It's Amazon. Yeah, right.
That was a big question mark, because I know that we were talking about getting into audiobooks, but I don't know that they ever officially said if it was going to go through their app or not. I think it's supposed to go through their app.
I really want to support this, and I'm so excited that they're getting serious about it, because I have seen more and more pop up. These are some of the first big names. I mean, yes, the Monogatari's are big names,
but they only did one.
Yeah,
this well,
no, they did the whole thing.
Did they?
Yeah, I think I bought the whole series so far. But yeah, there's other ones. Yeah, Attack on Titan was kind of big name, but it was a side story that nobody really cared about.
I thought it was good.
Yeah, it was good. My point is that it was something that not very many people knew about. So it wasn't something that would come up to the forefront as, hey, I'm looking for Attack on Titan. Was it Ice Maiden of the Walls or something like that? Mm-hmm. Now, like I said, Monogatari's would pop up if you're looking for Monogatari, you would go for Monogatari. But other names didn't pop up. So Spice and Wolf popping up as that's a big name, and so I can see a lot of people snatching. What was that the Federation one?
All You Need Is Kill?
Nah. Well, All You Need Is Kill is up there.
Yeah, I listened to the All You Need Is Kill one. I definitely recommend a lot of people that. Again, I've mentioned before several times, but it's basically the original source material for Edge of Tomorrow or All You Need Is or Live, Die, and Repeat. So definitely check that out. Or the manga. The manga's good, too.
Yeah, that one was definitely one that it changed everything. And I kind of wish that we...
Galactic Heroes has a one, too.
That's the one that I was trying to think of.
Is Galactic Heroes. There's so much info on that. It's so interesting, too. Like, it does world building insanely. Like, it's massive information dump, but it's so intriguing. Like, how much thought was put into that world.
Yeah, that one was the other one I was trying... Was it Galactic Heroes?
Legend of Galactic Heroes.
Yeah, Legend of the Galactic. There you go. Yeah, that one was the one I was trying to think of. But see, the people who are looking for that are only looking for that. And so I do kind of wish that they would put some kind of a tag in there so I can say Japanese light novels, so that this stuff would actually pop up. Because when I look
Japanese up, novels, let's do that. Because things like, I think Legend of Galactic Heroes is technically considered a novel.
Yeah.
Because it, from my understanding, light novel is specifically, that's what it means, is light novel. It's this idea of like a very, it's more verbal and it's less description. And so it's easy to consume. Whereas novel is, yeah, you're going to get into deep, you know, description of what's in the room before you start talking. Whereas light novel is more about, they enter the room, start talking kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So
Like I said, this is I'm so happy. I kind of wish I could take credit for saying, hey, finally they were listening to us and they got into this stuff. But
it's I think, you know what my prediction is on this whole thing? Ina. She was the first. Well, there's technically a guy on YouTube that has been trying to do a full audiobook of Spice and Wolf. I checked it out at some point. But yeah, Ina technically got permission from them, did a Yen Press kind of promotion, and read the first, I don't know, like two chapters of the series. I was actually hoping that she'd continue, but I know that was just a promo. But yeah, I think it's, I wonder if that was a spark. I think they've been probably thinking about this for a long time, honestly, but yeah, I don't know. Well, people, Soma Spice and what? Maybe. Rascal, I'm not really too interested, but definitely Spice and Wolf.
Yeah, as much as people have been freaking out about this stuff and saying, why haven't you done this yet? I'm glad they finally gave in. And I hope, and I know Spice and Wolf is probably one that will show them, hey, there is a market for this. Spider will probably be a, hey, this is a market. So I'm excited about this.
I might contact Yen Press, see if there's anything that we can do. Cross-promotion, because I think that's something that I would love to, not that I want a free copy of it. I mean, come on, it's just not that much. Because that's the thing. It's like, it's not as if contacting these companies, I know that there's like the stigma around contacting companies for reviews and stuff. Because if you think about it, if you go after something that technically only costs maybe one of these chapters, if you bought it solo, maybe what, $10 the most? You can buy that for $10 worth your time. The time investment that we would have into listening to it, plus recording something, plus editing something, plus uploading, posting out there, is much more significant than $10. So it's not a thing about wanting this for free. It's more of a thing of like, can we do something together to promote it officially and help people find that Spice and Wolf's getting an audiobook? That's huge. I think that's huge.
And strangely enough, our market podcast wise would be exactly the
listener
for this. Yeah,
I mean, like we mentioned before, it's people talk about, you know, your YouTube channel doesn't get that many views, and it's like, well, we're building a new audience, because the people that listen to our podcast, you know, we can have upwards of 20,000 people listening to one episode, whereas a video may, you know, struggle to get 1,200. It's because the people that listen to us are listening to us driving to work or whatever. It's people working out and they want something in their ears. It's a completely different audience than somebody that will sit down and look at a video for a period of time. It's something that I was hugely into. And I mean, I give myself as a prime example. When I used to have this one job, I had to do a lot of commute. And just commuting to work every day, plus they had me going up north several times, which is about a 10-hour drive. I had time to listen to stuff. I couldn't watch stuff because I was driving or whatever.
Well,
but I could listen to stuff, and I was consuming so much audio. I mean, that's how I listened to All You Need Is Kill and Kizuki Monogatari and Legend Galactic Heroes. It's because I had that time, and now I don't have that. This is for those kind of people. That was me. That was me at some point.
Well, just take me into consideration. I go in, and I'm cleaning dog kennels for nearly 4 hours. Okay, 4 hours times three times speed. You're talking about, what, 12 hours a day worth of content every day? Yeah, I'm listening to a lot of podcasts.
It
and
sucks.
Audiobooks, too. So
doesn't it suck being in that category of people that can't listen to things normal anymore?
I know, right?
It's so slow.
It is. Even our podcast, if I listening to it on YouTube,
my own
or
video,
something,
I can't listen to normal speed. I'm like, God, I'm so slow. So
do I really talk like that?
it does make you wonder, because I'll listen to a lot of my stuff at 2x speed before I post it, because I like to do a proof watch of my videos before I post them, just to make sure there's no, like, you know, when it was exporting, did it glitch? Is there a point that I forgot to take something out, like just a pause? And every now and then, and like, I'll notice something that sounds a little weird, so I'll go back and I'll play it in normal speed to see if I can catch it and it sounds weird, and it's like, it feels like I'm going, so, in this episode, I'm like, wait.
We're not,
it's
exaggerating.
On
you don't understand.
It's not. I double check it. Like, am I on 0.5 speed? No, I'm on normal speed. That doesn't sound right. Did it export slow motion? It doesn't make any sense. But yeah, I just hope. I don't know if they've announced who will be like narrating it. I don't, not that I'm like super concerned, but I do really hope they get somebody really solid to voice it and everything. And that somebody that can, with the audiobooks is a weird thing because it's a sense of, it's a single person obviously reading it. I mean, unless they decide to actually, you know, hire out somebody to do, you know, Holo's voice versus Lawrence's voice or whatever. I doubt they'll go that far. But somebody that can put enough inflection and motion to voicing stuff without it sounding too much. Because I think some of the audiobooks that I've listened to, they seem to do a really fantastic job with pulling that kind of stuff off. Because, again, you don't want them to be, like, overacting every single, you know, quote. But at the same time, you do want some sort of inflection, some sort of energy in there to get the point across about what they're saying.
Yeah, that is one of those things. It's, I will admit, while I do tolerate it pretty good, there is a little bit of,
yeah, Chris, how can you stand audiobooks? It's just a dub.
In a lot of cases, it really is.
Oh, Chris has to give up on that one.
The Monogatari ones were sometimes...
Don't worry, we can get you a Japanese audiobook with subtitles.
But it comes with the territory. There's no real getting around that. That's the same for quote unquote English novels too. The ones like, that where they try to play that out is it's one of those frustrating things. You kind of want it, but at the same time, you go back to, man, imagine these people as basically fresh and upcoming actors is really what it comes down to. And you want to support them for trying to get into this. But at the same time, it is kind of hard to get through sometimes.
I just give them a lot of credit because that's a lot to read. Like these people that read these audiobooks, that's a lot. That is a whole, like, think about it. Technically, with say episode one of Spice and Wolf, you have maybe like, you know, this certain amount of dialogue amounts, maybe probably 5 minutes at the most of audio, of voicing that a single person does. Because the rest of it's, well, technically the first episode of Spice and Wolf, he's narrating pretty much the entire beginning section too. But if you think about an episode of a show where somebody has, you know, 20 lines versus literally speaking to describe everything that happens in the episode, that's a huge difference. It's literally the entire episode you're talking.
It's one of those things that I've debated the idea of, I wonder if they'd let me do this stuff. And it's like, no, I can't act. So I would be
that's
going,
like I said, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's what I mean. That technically with a lot of that stuff, it's not really necessarily wanting them to be like overly acting every single quote. But at the same time, you do have to have some sort of energy whenever there is maybe somebody yelling or something like that. But yeah, you don't want that monotone all the way through. You don't want, and then he jumped onto the bus and the bus started going down the street. Then it started swerving and then a huge subway train smashed into it and he was isekai'd into another world.
And the sad thing is yeah, you can probably help yourself learn this stuff. But the problem at that point is that to get to that point, you have to go through a process, and nobody wants to buy the version of your audiobook that you have not learned the process.
Yeah,
so it's like to get me to that point, I have to go through a process to get to that point, and to that point over there, I'm not.
There's training groups for that kind of stuff, but yeah, I think we've honestly gotten better over time just doing our podcasting. But
yeah,
again, at the same time, I don't know a lot of the strategies and stuff they employ. Plus, I'm not mostly thinking about that kind of. I think if I was reading a script or whatever, I'd be a lot different than just trying to off the cuff talk in our discussions or whatever. It's a totally different thing because here it's just us talking with a microphone in front of our face. That situation, you're trying to act out something, which is completely different. Because we don't act here. We're genuine. There's
except
no acting
for, except for when monkeys are involved.
And horses, yes. Okay, Chris. Anyways, yeah, that's exciting. But unfortunately, it's going to take them a while to get the first volume. coming out in March. Now, I wonder if they're doing... Okay, they say volume. All right, good. I was about to say, I wonder if they're just going to do chapter by chapter. No, they're doing volume. Okay, good. So it'll be like 22 at this point, I think, volumes.
I figured that. They're so brutal. They're going to milk everything out of us.
Do it. I'm for it. I'm excited. I mean, because honestly, again, I've bought the entire series, except for the last volume. It apparently sold out because I missed its release date. And you miss a release date on a light novel, it disappears. But it is one of those things where, again, it's much easier to consume in audiobook format because you can do other stuff at the same time rather than I can't get myself to sit still and look at a book. It's very hard.
I will say this. If anybody in Yin Press is listening to us, if on that off chance you're listening to us.
Obviously, because we're doing
together
this.
Together with... Bookwalker.
Wait. They're obviously listening to us because we've obviously been complaining about somebody doing a audiobook of Spice and Wolf for the longest time. And what was the other one that we were huge on? Soma Spider, So What? I was destroying that anime about the fact that they adapted terribly and that I would possibly like to read the light novel. So they're like, yeah, so that went into... I'm not sure where they got The Rascals Not Dreams. Maybe
because,
I said something
because,
about that one.
Because you love that show, and so they went and made it just for you. Nobody wants to listen to Chris. They want to listen to Andrew.
Yes.
No, but seriously, if y'all are actually get together with... I think your stuff is on Bookwalker. Get together, do a co-op, make your own audiobook system, or get to where you can use BookFunnel. BookFunnel will work for you guys if it, in that case. And that would give you the maximum amount of return for each one of these volumes, and people will support it.
Yeah. There you go. I think that's a key point there is that don't settle for, like, audio, you know... Why am I thinking the stupid name of the company? Amazon.
Amazon.
Don't settle with Amazon.
The only problem with Amazon, just being honest, while they have the biggest platform, they want a cut and they want the
exclusivity.
Rights. They want exclusive rights. That's what I'm getting the impression of from a lot of these smaller authors is. They want to convert their stuff over to something like BookFunnel, where they're actually getting a better return. The problem is that all of their books, because they started out on Amazon, all their books are locked, and so they can't get a return on those because they're stuck.
You don't see even on the press release, it doesn't specify where it's available at. Kind of weird. Maybe, I mean, it is part of their Yin Audio imprints, but that doesn't tell me what. Unless there's a Yin Audio app or something like that, it doesn't really specify where exactly they're going to have the stuff at. So maybe they'll announce that stuff at a later date. I don't know that they've had any audiobooks before.
Yes, they have. And they were on Amazon's platform.
There you go.
Yeah, and all the Monogataris are on that platform. So
another exciting audiobook that has been announced, J-Novel has announced they were going to be doing a... J-Novel had announced they were going to be doing an audiobook as well for Slayers. So
that's awesome.
That's awesome, too. I love the original Slayers. I pretty much just the adaptation. I haven't actually read it, but that'd be cool to jump into the light novel as well. Sorry. They specify novel. We just went to that discussion earlier. So, good stuff. Also, J-Novel, during the Anime NYC, announced licensing for new titles, including To Another World with Landmines. When supernatural battles became commonplace, prison life is easy for villainous, housekeeping mage from another world, making your adventures feel like home, fantasy inbound, forget being the villainous, I want to be an adventurer. My stepmom's daughter is my ex-girlfriend, or is my ex, a magic knight of the old ways, saint, no, I'm just a passing beast tamer, and my quest blacksmith life in another world. My quiet blacksmith life in another world.
That actually reminds me of a show that I watched, or an anime that I watched a while ago that was similar. That could be a fun one.
Was it The Legend of Blacksmith or something like that?
Yeah, Legend of Blacksmith.
Yeah. Anyways, cool stuff. Moving on, Crunchyroll has announced at Anime NYC that they are slated to stream the following titles in 2022. This includes Spy X Family, Aoyashi. Aoyashi? Is that how you say that? Aoyashi? a couple of Cocos. I think they already announced that one. I think that Spy X Family, too. Dance 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 The Dawn of the Witch. Shikimori's Not Just a Cutie. Inspector 2 and Tomodachi Game. So, and also at some point, I think on Twitter or something like that, both Funimation and Crunchyroll announced that they are going to be streaming the Attack on Titan Final Season Part 2, which is a surprise to nobody, but that'll begin on January 9th. So cool stuff. Cool stuff. Excited for any of those?
A couple of them.
I think most of those are spring. I don't know.
Dance 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 has got an anime.
Yeah, we talked about that one.
All right, I'm just trying to remember what. Yeah, it's all right. I'm.
Are you okay?
My brain is in weird.
Are you
spots.
Okay?
my brain is in weird places.
More announcements from Yen Press during the Anime NYC. They said that they have licensed the following titles: Magia Record, Put Out Magia Madoka Magica, Another Story Manga. Chitose-kun is in the Ramune Bottle Manga. Question mark. The Bride of Demise novel, Sasaki and Pichan novel. Hi, I am a witch, and my crush wants me to make a love potion manga. Very specific. I'm sure you guys don't need the synopsis for that one.
That would suck. So she's probably wondering if it's going for her or not. So, yeah.
I think the assumption is it's for somebody else.
Yeah.
You don't really ask somebody to make a love potion to get back to them.
Mm-hmm.
It could be. The Other World's Book Depends on the Bean Counter Manga. That is the weirdest title ever. The Other World's Books Depend on the Bean Counter. So I'm guessing, like, just making money and not having your shop closed down, maybe? I don't know. See you tomorrow at the Food Court Manga, Nights with a Cat Manga, and the Geek X Hitman Manga. Very weird. Interesting titles, Yen Press. Interesting titles. Denpa has announced at Anime NYC that they have acquired Tabe Girl, which most people, I guess, could probably guess what that's about. It's an art book, but it's obviously about depicting girls eating food, and it's by the artist June. So,
oh, okay, that makes sense. Tabe is food, so yeah,
right.
I gotcha.
Tabe, yeah.
Tabe is eat, or is it food?
Eating. So, there you go. anyways, moving on. I skip forward.
So is that a spinoff of the inflated belly thing?
I don't know. Could
people
be.
People are weird.
There's quite a new fetish going on, eating on streams and stuff. Not necessarily the ASMR thing, but the eating on stream. Anyways. Art of cute girls eating foods, I think, is really the key thing there. I don't think it's really necessarily the same, but there you go. It's a subgenre, I guess. The official website for Police in a Pod TV anime has announced a January 5th premiere, so another winter's title. It's already kind of locked in. They released a key art for it, and the police comedy centers around female officer Kawai, who had enough of a career that she wasn't even into. She was about to hand in her resignation when the unthinkable happened. She met the new female director of her station, and after spending a little time with this gorgeous role model, Kawai realizes that maybe she isn't quite done being an officer after all. Kind of seemed like a weird name to have. I know I've seen Japanese characters with the name Kawai, but it seems like a very weird name to have. Basically, you're scary? I don't know. Seems weird. Moving on, we have Shueisha has announced that Mato Sehe no Slevu is set to get an anime adaptation. This one, the English title is The Slave of Magic Capital's Elite Troops. The manga is by Takahiro and Yohei Takamura, the creators obviously of Akame ga Kill. The key art and teaser trailer has been released, and the synopsis is that Battle Fantasy is set in a world where demonic gates have unleashed monsters known as Shuki. A special peach tree is able to give powers, but only to women. The story begins when a down-on-his-luck boy named Yuki Wakura meets Uzin Kyoka, a girl who has gained the power of the peach, and is captain of the 7th Anti-Demon Squad. You excited?
Sure.
I figured it would be like one of those things where I'm like, you're excited until you realize that it's by the Kamiga Kill creators.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I figured that would be the upset for Chris, but he hasn't said anything, so...
Well, it was... I did like it up until character started making no sense, and then I got frustrated. I jumped off long before Andrew did.
I finished it, so...
Yeah, you finished it.
Yeah, and we also had... We had somebody that was doing writing on our website for Akami Got Killed for a while, because they knew the manga and everything like that, so they wanted to do a bunch of write-ups of each episode, and... He was pretty upset about how that went, basically, but that was more the fact that he didn't like what was being adapted. But yeah, I jokingly confirmed somebody's comment when I did a news bit on this on YouTube, and they were like, yeah, these creators really like their Dom girls, don't they? And I'm like, yeah, pretty much getting that impression from the key art. I mean, we had the ice girl from Akame Ga Kill, and now we have this crazy looking commander chick that's on his back. So very dominating. Has a chain around his neck. So again, we're going that direction, I guess. But yeah, I mean, the key art looks fantastic. My only concern that I have this so far, as I kind of looked through it and did a little bit of research on it, is the studio, which 7 arcs. I mean, they haven't really done much visually fantastic stuff. I mean, they're currently doing Blue Period, and Blue Period has some really cool animation pieces in it here and there. But even with Blue Period, there's a lot of scenes where it's like, yeah, characters look a little off there. And again, it's not a heavy action show. So, I don't know. There's always a chance that they will get a good budget for this. And then they will do, this will be the one where they do an incredible job. I mean, we've joked about the idea of unlimited budget works was like this key point in Ufotable's history where suddenly there was this insanely over-animated show because they had a lot of money in it. So, who knows? Maybe this one will get a good budget. I mean, especially based on it being a well-known mangaka team. So maybe it will. Maybe it'll get the money it needs. But we'll have to wait and see. But the key art looks fantastic. I mean, the key art looks gorgeous. So we'll see. We'll see. Yostar Pictures has released a trailer for Sora Ido Utility, which is Sky Blue Utility. This is, of course, the golfing anime that's coming up. Like I said before, I think the big new trend here soon is going to be golfing anime girls, because I think we already have like 2 or 3 shows slated in the next year for golfing girls. But yeah, they released the trailer, and the trailer has revealed a December 31st premiere. So currently, I think that's our earliest starting winter show. So be ready for it. We're not even a month away from winter season already, so... I think the only thing that saddens me about the upcoming winter season is it means that Mushoku Tensei is over. And I'm going to be really sad when that happens.
So. Oh, that looks pretty good. I think that we could work with that. Yeah. I mean, it had a CG on the actual ball going by the cup, so...
Yeah, can't animate balls. That's too difficult. Way too difficult. Yeah, exciting stuff. It looked cute. Studio looks like they're doing a decent job on it. Again, the Yostar Pictures, I think, is just recently created for this, so we'll see. Not for this, but a new studio, so.
Definitely has some solid backgrounds and stuff like that.
Yep. All right, moving on. Another anime adaptation announcement. We had the mangaka Onigun Shou has confirmed that there is plans to anime adapt their manga Monogatari. For those that don't know what Monogatari is, not the Bakke whatever Monogatari
series. I was going to say, this is not my Monogatari.
This is not Monogatari. Anyways, this manga centers around Tsukumo Nogami, spirits that inhabit aged objects. The protagonist, Hyoma, despises Tsukumo Nogami after one of them took away something important from him. He comes to Kyoto and comes to live with Botan, a girl who loves Tsukumogami and lives with them as family. So, yeah. Obviously, they took away his favorite toy when he was a kid, and so he's had this despising of them forever since then, and then he's going to come to live with somebody that's going to be treating him like friends and family. So, they can butt heads. Yeah, interesting. I think, I mean, we had Tsukumomo technically is the concept of Tsukumogami. We had that other one that was like a early 1900s, maybe late 1800s anime, or Japan. I forget what the name of that one was. So we've had several Tsukumogami shows, but yeah. I don't know. They're kind of in the same area as the yokai shows for me, whereas I think that there is a saturation point for that stuff a while back. So having it come back, hopefully they have a good spin for it, this one. Obviously, I think the relationship between Botan and how Botan and Hyouma sees the Tsukumogami might be the interesting spin for it. But we'll see. Hopefully, Hyouma's not annoying. Mm-hmm. It's really setting up for Hyouma to be annoying. But we'll see.
Yeah, that what it comes down to is if a lot of them have to rely on the healing of the spirit. So, mm-hmm. And that's the frustrating thing is you kind of want to
or the have secrets they tell. I mean, that other one was about that. It was the one that had they were essentially solving mysteries using mm-hmm. the Tsukumogami. So they would sometimes give people the Tsukumogami and they would take it and they would go home with it. And then the Tsukumogami would come back and say, hey, wow, I was in their house. I seen this. It was like, they're like literally wiretapping houses with Tsukumogami. And that was the interesting twist they had with that one. This one, can it be freeing them? Can it be the mysteries around it? What it tells the story? Because it's not really necessarily about exercising the item, because that's what the Tsukumogami is, unless... Because I never heard the concept of freeing them or whatever.
Yeah, that's why I was saying healing rather than actually cleansing or anything like that. Because cleansing is a very different thing for them. That would be the exercising and stuff like that. But yeah, healing them, which is really just like Andrew was saying, getting information and then taking care of the issue that Tsukugogami or Tsukumo.
Tsukumo,
the problem that they're having, and so that they can be more of a happier, loved spirit instead of a angry.
I know, yeah, I think I remember one that did that, where it was like an aspect of being treasured as that Tsukumogami mm-hmm. rather than it being discarded. I don't know. Not too many of them, but I do remember a lot of them.
Unlike Tsukumomo, which is actually used as a tool that and not loved.
Yeah, they end up turning into a bad Tsukumogami kind of thing. And then Ecchi. Because why not? Hidive has announced that they have plans to stream the Magnificent Kotobuki compilation film on November 25th. So I guess if you haven't watched the series, you can watch the compilation film instead. It was all right. I don't remember why I dropped it. I think it just... Maybe there was too much in that season. It wasn't a bad show, but it is a full CGI. Maybe the CGI might be better. The character renders and stuff might be better in the show, because I think that was my problem that I had with the show, was that I didn't like how the characters were rendered or something. But maybe since they did a theatrical release of it, maybe they improved it. But we'll see. Might check it out. I don't know. There's a lot of movies and live actions and stuff that are coming out. And then we also have Super Crooks, is I think, coming around that same day. So... It's a lot of stuff being dumped on streaming services right now. So we'll see. Moving on, we have another anime adaptation announcement, which is your boy Kong Ming. The manga is getting an anime adaptation. It is set to premiere in April 2022, being done by Studio PA Works. So that's super exciting. They're animating the series. They have released a trailer and a key art for the series. And, the exciting thing that I noticed, and I especially noticed it when I was watching the trailer, because it's a pretty decently long trailer, is that Kanami Sekiguchi is going to be doing the character designs, and of course they're known for doing Hanasaki Roha, so I'm super happy about that. But yeah, it looks good. It looks kind of, definitely probably going to be a fish-out-of-water story. I haven't really looked into anything about your boy coming. I seem to remember hearing somebody talk about it at some point, but yeah. The synopsis, I don't know, I have to do this because Chris is watching it right now, so I can't, like, cut him off. No, I'm going to have to. Sorry, Chris. You can't watch the rest of the trailer. It's pretty much done, though. The synopsis is, General of the Three Kingdoms, Kong Ming, had struggled his whole life facing countless battles that made him into the accomplished strategist he was. So, on his deathbed, he wished only to be reborn into a peaceful world, and was sent straight to modern-day Party Central Tokyo. Can even the brilliant strategist like Kong Ming adapt to the wild beasts and even wilder party people?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely fish-out-of-water story. But yeah,
I'm kind of curious. I don't know. It doesn't seem like it would be a. I take it back. This is going to. I'm going to love this show. You know I am. I'm going to go girl, nuts right? over it.
Cute girl. It looks based on the trailer like he's going to end up immediately running into some like street performer, and then he's probably going to really love her music and want to see her successful.
Yeah,
is what I'm getting from it.
What it's probably going to be.
So, you know, obviously in Japan you run into so many blonde girls. Long blonde haired girls are everywhere in Japan, so Kong Ming would definitely run into a long blonde haired girl. I don't know, maybe she's a foreigner. I guess he technically imply that with the whole acoustic guitar thing, but who knows? Maybe she's just inspired by America and wants to have long blonde hair, gets it dyed, and gets an acoustic guitar. Who knows? But no, I'm super excited for it. PA Works / you know, same character artist as Hanasaki Roha / fish out of water story. Looks cute. Excited for it. Now, the other thing, that was interesting about this is I think, like, just before this was announced, we were discussing on our live stream about Aquatope coming to conclusion. And obviously, one of the question marks that came up was, would Aquatope go to two seasons? And obviously, for pretty much every single PA Works title, they always go two core. Sometimes they'll go single core. They might go two core and then a movie. But there was a question mark, and I think me personally was even questioning it too, is if they would go, you know, another season, which they could still technically do three core. But I think right now it's pretty much, unless they would have to, because they've already pretty much scheduled that the first season was 24 episodes. So maybe they would do like a 24 episode and then a second season of 12 episodes. But I think based on this PV, it being spring, and plus this PV having a lot of clips in it. So that's showing that they've probably been starting to work on this already. I don't think we're going to have anything this next season, winter season from PA Works, especially not Aquatope. So hopefully Aquatope concludes well with its next, four episodes that it has available for it. We'll see.
I don't know. I'm at the moment, I'm kind of scared to even catch up right now.
This is my only concern, and that maybe the people that have read Ya Boy Kong Ming can probably ease my worries. The one thing I do have to note here is PA Works does not have a good record with adapting stuff. So not that they do a bad job adapting, because I don't really know, because I haven't really checked the source material on anything that they adapt. But the stuff that they usually adapt ends up being flops.
Yeah, I would lean towards is they just have a bad decision to pick things. I don't know. It may... you wonder sometimes if it's just...
Because, like, the Red Data Girl was a flop. I think the Hachi... What was it? We just talked about this
Glass
stupid
Slip.
Show. Yeah, I think Glass Slip was an adaptation as well. We were talking about the... Harachika was a source material too, and that did not do well for me.
They pick up a diamond in the rough here and there, but when it comes down to it, a lot of the ones that they get, it's almost like...
I think Eccentric Family is their only one where they did it, and it worked so well.
It's almost like somebody says, you know, we really desperately need this show to, or this material to do well, because it's hurting really bad because nobody likes it. And they shove it on PA Works and say, here, have a lot of money. And PA Works, they don't care. They'll do what they can with the material. And they do try to do really well with these things. It's not like they're purposefully destroying these. In a lot of cases, you can see they're doing the best
Glass
that they can.
Was original?
Was it?
Really? Huh. That would be the first one they did original that I don't think I liked. That's crazy. So it's really just like another was good as well, and that was based on a novel. So I guess it's not completely...
No, like bust. I said, they get diamonds in the rough here and there.
But usually I go for them for their original works. I mean, Yoruduku, technically Fairy Gone and Serious Jaeger was original, and those didn't really do too well. So I don't know. Maybe I'm baseless on that. We'll see. I hope it's a good one. Like I said, the PV looks good.
Yeah, generally they always look decently good.
Visually, they're always good. Yeah, visually they're always good. I don't think I've really run into many. I mean, even when their first work was True Tears, that would look really good too. I mean, that was drawn in by the visuals on that one. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see. The official website for Mushoku Tensei: Jobless Reincarnation has announced that the anime's fourth Blu-ray disc will include an unaired side story episode. So this is what we were talking about earlier about them having episode 16. Something was technically happening in the background, and this Blu-ray OVA will have what happened there, which obviously is following Eris. So if you like Eris, or if you like Mushoku Tensei in general, you're going to probably be after this, but... The Blu-ray is going to be releasing on March 16th, so it's a little ways away. Hopefully, like I said before, hopefully Funimation will pick that up and we can get it pretty quickly and not have to wait for the second part to release on Blu-ray, which we were talking about this on our live stream. Like, where is the Blu-ray of the first part? Like, you would think that Funimation would have released the Blu-ray already.
Yeah, you would think that they would want to be tapping into that money already.
And, I mean, some people had a logical argument, which is that they may be waiting for part two to finish to release it in one box set. I don't think that's it. They love doing part two and part... It's literally their way of double dipping. If they wait until the second part comes out and they put it into a Blu-ray box set, they have to sell it for a single SKU. Whereas if they release a part one, they can... charge astronomical amounts and get you to buy it, and then they'll release part two and they'll charge astronomical amounts and you'll buy it, and then later on they will release a full season complete box set and you will buy it because you love the series so much. But no, oh, also this, the full compilation, full season one, by the way, they fixed the episode one crappy quality issues that they claim was the masters that was sent to them by the Japan studios. But yeah, that's a question.
We will take all of your monies and you will be happy.
Like, where is the first Blu-ray? I don't even think I've seen an announcement for a Blu-ray release in the West anyways. So I don't know what they're doing there. I really don't. Because of most all anime, this is one that I would love to watch on Blu-ray. Like, I bet it's just equally as, if not more, gorgeous. So I don't know. We'll see. I'm really curious about what's happening there. And then it makes me worry now because it's like, well... If they do wait until they do a Blu-ray release of the part two, with how long it's taking part one, which again is literally we're almost a year out from season one airing, or season one part one airing. So I don't know. Maybe all the issues with, you know, pandemics and stuff may be causing a problem with getting that out. That's probably the answer. All right. Everything could be, everything is excused by that. More news of movies coming out of High Dive. They have begun streaming School Live Action, the live action version of the movie. The movie that is the live action. There's no live action. There's no anime version of the movie. So
I don't know if about this in at all.
But yeah, it was good. I liked it. It was.
Did it?
I watched it. So my thoughts on it. If you're a huge fan of School Live, I think you'll like it because it's just another rendition of it, but keep in mind this is literally just the retelling of the first season, basically. So if you like the story of the first season of School Live, that's this movie covers from the first episode all the way to the end of it, that story arc, all the way up to the graduation, I guess is the best way to put it for people. Their graduation, that's how much this movie does. They did a good job. This is one of the very few Japanese live actions where the characters don't act cringy. Like, they're not overly crazy. There's no, like, your argument with the person on the bike where everything's all super animated around them to make it look like they're going super high velocity in a live action setting. Everything was kept to, like, a good telling that doesn't feel like a Japanese live action with overly acting characters and stuff. They all kind of acted normal, which I thought was really good. So, but yeah, like I said, it just basically tells that story. So there's nothing new here. I didn't notice anything new. The only thing that was kind of different was that, gosh, I'm forgetting her name. The girl they found at the mall. They don't find her at the mall. They don't even go to the mall. They just find her, I think, in one of the club rooms as they're trying to explore around for food. So she's in the school, not at the mall. And there's no Toramanu, which I think is a travesty.
Oh.
I don't know why you wouldn't have Toramaru. Just that, literally the best character in the show, and they don't even have him.
Did they pull off the first episode without doing any spoilers?
I think the final shot was kind of weird looking, honestly. You know, the zoom out from her standing in there? I don't think they pulled off that shot very well. Something felt off about it. I'm not sure if it's just the room setting and stuff, but other than that, I think it has the same kind of concept to it.
Okay. So,
and obviously the big spoiler about another character, I think they pulled that off really well. But yeah. I think all the actresses are great. I think they all pulled off their characters really well.
You're saying I should give it a fair chance instead of going, I'm not sure about this.
I think it was good.
Okay.
I think it was really good. So, yeah, cool stuff. Definitely pulled it off. Not that it's like an insane show. Don't get me wrong. The movie's not like incredible, but I think it was a good rendition of that story arc. And again, doesn't have the usual Japanese live action trappings that I think scare most people off from Japanese live actions. So, I think honestly, the last few Japanese live actions I've watched, I think they're getting better at that kind of stuff. Like, they're getting away from that trapping of being like overly acting every scenario to show that goofy anime style to live action. But yeah, Manga Planet has announced that it is adding over 150 titles from the Kodansha USA catalog. So if you are in Manga Planet or are thinking about it, there you go. It's a lot of tile to add to it. This obviously includes Attack on Titan, Fairy Tail, Ace of Diamonds, Cells at Work, Space Brothers, and Fire Force. So some really solid titles to add to the list. So good stuff. I have never heard of Manga Planet, but now I do.
Ooh. this is interesting. I wonder. I'm going to have to look into this.
For those that aren't aware of Manga Planet, it launched in November 2019. It costs $6.99 per month, but allows users to unlimited access to anime or English translated manga. In addition to the manga listed from publishers, the service offers works licensed from independent artists. So
that to me is almost an I dare you to viz. I'm very curious as to how they will react to that, because
I think that's something that really needs to be done with every single publisher, is that concept of the monthly subscription. Yeah. Just because sometimes you like get into granted, a lot of services, they'll let you like read into like at least the first chapter to get an idea if it's something that you like. But the idea of like buying a full volume or whatever, full something, just to see if you like it or not, it's kind of weird.
Well, Viz
moving to a Netflix kind of setup is nice.
To be fair, Viz has been changing their service plan. And I think that they're trying to keep their royalty fees down, because their subscription fee is, to put it in a different way, it's $2 compared to $7. So their subscription fee is a lot better. However, a lot of their stuff is locked. So you only get the main shonens available on Viz. You do have a couple of other things that are available, and then pretty much everything else is you have to buy a volume or a chapter. The chapter fees are stupid, insane. But yeah, this coming out and saying, hey, $7 and everything is available, I don't know how true they're going to be to that, but because I have not actually gone there, I haven't looked at what they've got available. But you're talking about some pretty big shonens right there. So I'd be very, very curious as to what all is available on there, for sure.
Yeah, that's a big question mark, because I think if they have a really solid catalog, I mean, even me personally, I find that kind of intriguing.
Alita.
Yeah, Alita, Ao-chan Can't Study, Air Gear. This is just stuff on their main page, by the way. Chihayafuru, Devil's Lion, if you care about that. Flying Witch. It's good.
Flying Witch. Wow.
Standalone Complex, Domestic Girlfriend, Inuyashiki, Monster Girls. Oh, there, I can worry my interview with Monster Girls when that comes out. Norigami. That's cool. My Little Monster, Kiss Him, Not Me. That's pretty good stuff. I don't know if that's it. That would be really suck.
No, yeah, there's Seymour. Seymour.
There you go. That's it. That's on their catalog.
I've got several pages, so you're only on the second page.
Yeah, Real Girl. Welcome to Ballroom. That'd be cool to get back into that one. If you care to get into Your Lie in April and cry again, I guess. Compellion. Happiness. I keep trying to go back to check out Compellion.
Happiness is on there.
Yeah. I don't know. We don't personally need that, but others can, because we literally have all the volumes of Happiness. I wonder if they have the Train one on here, too. If they have that one, they might have his... what's it called? I have it up there. The Train one that writer did.
It's a solid catalog as far as we can tell, and we're only in what, three pages now.
Yeah, we're starting to run out of good ones though. The further you get back, it starts losing at least recognizable. I'm saying recognizable. I'm losing. Recognizable.
I can say this. I can see a lot of shoujos. Shoujos are. It's hard for a lot of shoujos to get their stuff because, especially with Viz. Everything Shonen Beat or Shoujo Beat, Shoujo Beat is locked behind paywall.
I think that's probably the thing, is they probably had a majority of their stuff with Shoujo, and then they probably brought in Kodansha to get maybe inject a little bit of Shonen. But that's just speculation. I really have zero clue. Zero. Absolute
yeah, that's one of the
zero.
One of the sad things, because Shoujo Beat and Shonen Jump, they were both there. They had separate. Basically separate.
Melon Cream Soda. I am intrigued just based on your cover art.
They had separate subscription fees. And so everybody who wanted the shoujo stuff, they could pay an extra fee to get all that stuff. When they randomly cut that off, they lost, I'm sure. Well, I don't know.
Oh, these are just stuff that you can read for free.
Oh.
So there's probably more than that, because that would definitely not be 150 just alone by that. So.
But at least you know what stuff is out there on their.
Yeah, I'm curious if they have like a. I was looking for About Us to see what. Oh, publishers right here. Bingo! unless these are the Japanese publishers. Fantasia, Fukumoto, Hokazono, Homsha, Kodansha, IT Planning, Lead Publishing, Parasol, Sozo Comet, Shonen Ga Hosha, Wani Books, Third Line. I don't know the rest of the stuff. Yep. Cool stuff. Definitely exciting stuff for them, obviously. Probably a good thing for them. Let's see. Moving on, we have exciting news, Chris. Peter Grill and the Philosopher's Time is getting a second season. This was announced in a wraparound jacket for the ninth volume of the manga. So, super exciting.
Yes, this is very important. We must explore this situation thoroughly.
It's some deep stuff. It's a very important story. I think the levity, the weight of the situation of this story is significant. It will be significant. But no, I'm excited. I think the first season. I want to say that I thought that they kind of had a little bit of a lulling at the end of the first season, but I think overall I had a lot of laughs, and obviously it's a very kind of more adult humor. But it was a lot of fun. The characters were super cute, so I really enjoyed it for that reason alone. But yeah, I'm super excited for another season of that. I think that'll be great. I think the first one was a short, wasn't it? So it wasn't like
it's a
huge
short
investment. But yeah. If you guys want to check out the first season, I think High Dive has it and Crunchyroll. So check it out on High Dive. Support High Dive. Cool stuff. Some pretty fun news. We have Sachiku-san wa Yojo Yure ni Irasaretai. Anime adaptation has released a PV revealing a 2022 premiere. I don't think we've talked about this one getting an anime adaptation, but the English title is The Company Slave Wants to Be Healed by a Little Ghost Girl. And if you had not gathered what that's going to be about, and the synopsis basically is in the intro, in the title.
Oh my gosh, she's adorable.
The story follows the daily life of Fushihara, a woman who is the slave to her company, and a Yure, the ghost girl who wants to help her. So, looks cute.
She's freaking adorable.
Yeah, it's kind of got this concept of, like, ghosts in this world are, like, little chibi girls. But yeah, it looks like she's basically working tirelessly at night, and this ghost is going to help her, apparently. So, yeah. Looks cute. Character designs are kind of interesting.
And she could take her home? She's not stuck at work?
I think so.
There you go.
Got a ghost girl and got a Neko girl.
Cat girl.
And then like a maid girl.
And a maid girl. There you go.
So.
Anime of the year. Already calling it.
Yeah, who's doing this? Studio was announced as well, which will be Studio will be working on this one. Am I just not seeing studio?
I didn't see a studio, so.
Studio was announced, but there's no studio listed. I don't. I don't see studio in this entire press release. Studio Project 9. Okay.
There you go.
Project number 9. So there you go. Bottom tier character in Tomazaki and Higahiro Studio. So they could pull it off. They could definitely pull it off. I mean, the PV looks good. So check that out if that's interesting to you. But yeah, 2022. Somewhere in that year. Somewhere around there. You know, after January 1st, but before January 1st, 2023. There you go.
You know what I really hate is companies that say that they're going to announce an announcement on a certain date.
Announcements of announcements are great, yeah. Chris. I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, apparently Devil is Part-Timer's getting a second season, so that's exciting. I think the Twitter and other social media groups of anime has been pretty hype about this for the last few weeks. But yeah, the official Twitter account has announced that they will be announcing something about the sequel on December 12th, so... Be excited for the announcement. maybe we will get announcement. But there you go. December 12th. Keep an eye out for that. depending on how exciting that announcement is, I might make a video on the announcement. So
they're probably going to announce that they're going to announce something the entire show is over.
The live stream announces that they're now announcing the announcement that they're announcing an announcement. Good stuff. Always good stuff. Seven Seas has licensed new titles, including Dungeon People manga, The Vampire Cosmonaut Yerna. That's great. Or, as others would know it, the better title, Suki to Laika to Nosferatu. And also the I Am Not a Succubus manga.
What is I Am Not a Succubus? I am so curious about this one.
It's got a nice butt on the cover.
There you go.
Whatever it is. The character's
that looks like
body proportions are a little weird, but did I say it was a succubus? I just said there was a butt on her.
She's not a succubus.
Right. I think she's not the succubus. Right. But she's got a harpy on her. I think everybody thinks she's a succubus, so they're trying to get on her. I don't know. The adjusting to a new school is always rough, and that goes double for Sakura. A shy human who is transferred to an academy where monster girls only. Sakura's new classmates include a kiss-curious harpy, a sarcastic Lamia, a cyclops who has her eye on Sakura. Do we really have to put that in there?
Mm-hmm.
Can we just delete that from the synopsis? And a plain-spoken centaur who treads... We've literally got the entire check marks on how to make a monster show.
Musume.
You have to include Lamia... You have to include centaur, you have to include harpy, and you have to include a cyclops. Every single monster girl show or story. Anyways, and is the centaur like the commanding one?
No, she's plain spoken.
Who treads cautiously down the hallways. I thought it was going to say that she was like a hall monitor. I'm like, there we go. There's the high and mighty centaur girl that keeps order. The duty bound one. Anyways,
no, that sounds more down like the hallways cyclops, actually. Since she has her eye on her.
That's true. I think she's being cautious, though. Because she's like Moe-ish looking.
I don't know. The centaur looks kind of Moe. Well, they all look Moe, honestly.
They all look Moe. Anyways, the centaur cautiously down the hallways, full of lusty demons. Eager to blend in, and with the body that convinces, Sakura lies and declares herself to be a succubus. But she literally says in the title that she's not a succubus.
That's probably what she admits when they get pushy.
But can she keep up the ruse and keep her new friend's hands, claws, and scale coils off her?
Oh.
It's going to be one long hot school year.
So she's using that to her advantage.
Yeah,
so
she doesn't want to reveal that she's human. Otherwise, they might kill her.
well, no, more along the lines of keeping them from touching her because they think that if she's a succubus, she'll suck their life force. So she's using that as a way to get them to leave her alone because they can't control themselves.
They're but it lusty. Says that she's blending in.
Yeah,
so she's trying to come in and think that she's human.
They all have, they're all lusty, so they really, really want her, and she's using, I'm a succubus, and I'll suck your life force if you touch me.
Nah, I don't think that's it. last bit of news. Sony Music Entertainment has just released their new slew of VTubers as part of their Project Verse. They also released a trailer that was pretty fantastic. I think the trailer's really well done. And obviously, I think the thing that catches a lot of people's attention for Verse was that the character designer included Yukiko Horiguchi, who, of course, is known for doing K-On! And Tamako Market. So you definitely see that style in the character design. But, yeah. They launched this new set. I think they had, like, six girls in the... And the launch of Verse. They only had five in their main channel. I'm not sure where the girl from the main trailer is, but the other five showed up and they all did their premieres. But obviously this is a Japanese VTuber group, so most people probably are going to have to look for translations to get what's happening. But yeah, I had a question for Chris. Do you think we're at a saturation point yet for VTubers? It's like, it seems like everybody's like, okay, cool, the VTuber thing's a thing? All right, cool, Crunchyroll Hime. Oh, cool, Sony Himes. Everybody's got to have a VTuber group now. I'm curious if... Like, I even with when the English VTubers came over, I think that's like a special thing because obviously it's VTubers, anime-inspired from Japan, but now we can actually understand them without somebody subtitling it. But even, like, still with Japan, it just feels like, are they not at a point yet where there's just too many of them? Like, you only have so many time to dedicate to a live streamer. Why is Sony like, hey, obviously there's room for us, let's nudge in here? I mean, the concern that I had was kind of validated, because when I looked at the Verse YouTube page, these subscriber counts are not good. I mean, granted, it's only been, like, 3 days since they've done their premieres. But, I mean, one's at 600 subs. The rest of them are, like, 1 to 2K. Only one of them broke 2K, and that was Kagase Uno, which, by the way, I think she's absolutely adorable, and I love her voice. But, obviously, that's validated by the fact that she actually got a decent amount of subscriber. But, I mean, again, granted, it's kind of an oddity with the English VTubers, but they were getting, like, insane amounts of subs in their first days. And these girls are just not really pulling it. So,
it's a weird situation. What I can perceive, and this is my speculation.
This is, by the way, outside looking in. Obviously, I don't know what Japan's saying, and this is obviously for them. Japanese speakers, anyways.
This is the funky thing. We are, as a Western audience, we're very interested in things from a Japanese perspective. Now, this is only a natural extension of the Moe Girl being everything. So when it comes down to it, having the VTubers would be a natural extension of that as well. So having something that you can actually have as a persona of the brand, you know how you have the Hime-chan, but when from the Japanese place or perspective, you would have what's a good example of it? Internet Explorer-chan, stuff like that, where you would have Windows-chan. They all had some kind of a mascot. So VTubers, to me, is only just a natural extension. Yes, I understand that the first VTubers were their own thing. But what we're getting into is that next step of kind of harnessing the brand and making it into a persona and then actually selling the persona. Netflix was the first that kind of did that, per se.
I agree with you there, but would you need five different people with their own personalities trying their own thing, live streaming different
games? I'm curious as to if they are genres. Because this is Sony Music.
Well, they try to go with each of their... Well, see, only one of them is doing music. I think it was Alba. The rest are just streaming games. So, yeah, so Alba's got, like, her own, like, I don't think she has, like, an actual video where they introduce herself. It's literally just a bunch of music videos on her. Which, that was my assumption when they first showed it, but they were specifically saying it's VTubers. So it's like, okay, well, I don't see, because it's from Sony, so obviously you're thinking music. It's Sony Music Japan. Screw you guys for striking my channel. But it's specifically, these are characters with their own personas, but only one of them is really selling music. And I thought literally they were all going to have their own music, because obviously that's the thing that some of the VTubers with Hololive do. They sell their own music. I mean, that's technically just a Japan thing in general. Everybody in Japan, if you're a voice actor or whatever, you're probably going to do music because music sells. But this one, it just seems like only one of them is really doing music, and the rest of them are kind of just doing, just random video games that every VTuber does. So I don't know. It's weird.
But yeah, to answer your original question, is there a saturation point? Yes and no. Because it will depend on ultimately the love for the brand, because I think that brand name is going to sell a lot.
It's just the characters. Like, obviously, like I said, Kagase Uno, she was cute. Really, of all the ones I flipped through, she was the one that I stopped, because I'm like, okay, this character's cute, and I think she's pulling it off really well. Whereas other ones, which again did like Kashi here, when I looked at hers, it was like maybe it was the persona she was going for, but it kind of seemed boring. My sadness that comes from this is not really so much the saturation, because whatever. I mean, every company's going to throw stuff at the wall and see what fits or see what sticks and see what makes success. And the sad thing that comes from this is you have these five girls that they're obviously going to get paid for what they're doing. Some of the companies won't pay them, obviously, but they're all trying. And it feels like they're almost saying, okay, hey, we need five girls. Bring them together. All right, you all sit in front of this camera. We're going to make a VTuber out of you. Have fun. And it almost feels like they're just throwing things, and they're throwing these girls at the wall and hoping they stick on the wall. And the ones that don't, they just flop. And it just feels kind of sad.
No, I agree with you. I do agree.
Like it's an assembly.
My point was more along the lines of the brand is going to be the initial catch. And then if they have the ability to break through the wall, because yes, the saturation point is going to absolutely murder all of these girls at this point. Yeah. Because obviously Sony's brand name is not enough to pull these poor girls in.
I think it was enough to get them a good solid, I think like 10K viewership in their first introduction video, which is good. I mean, definitely having Sony's, I guess, weight behind them is going to get them a solid viewership. I mean, yeah, Kagase technically had about almost 18,000 views. I'm not sure how much was on her live stream itself, but I don't know. Yeah, she's technically pushing forward. Like, she's got a lot of videos already, so she's technically pushing to make this a thing. It just feels like the other ones are like, they tried and then they failed. One video, they tried, they failed. Wasn't enough viewership, lost interest. Again, this one's more of a music brand. I think this was the other one that is sticking with it. Yeah, 95 watching. She's currently live right now. That's just not, for most VTubers, is not very good. And granted, I mean, 95, that's way more than I'll ever have on my live stream. So it's definitely better to me. But for a VTuber with Sony's brand name behind you, that's a lot to weigh. Or a lot of responsibility, I guess. A lot of expectation there. There's a side of me that kind of feels bad for the girls, because it feels like they're just kind of, all right, we need another five. I mean, even Hololive, I haven't really gotten fully into the VTuber world, especially Hololive, but it feels like, you know, you obviously have, they treat them almost like idols, like where they'll have that whole aspect of eventually at some point they quote unquote graduate, which is literally where they leave. And it's like, with so many generations, I mean, you go to the Hololive page, there's just tons of them, like literally almost 100. And it's just like they're trying to churn them and hope that one is the next, you know, Pecora or something like that, I guess. I don't know.
But yeah, you're probably right.
The same thing with the English version, too. They're going to probably do another gen of English ones and hope another one does another Garagura.
And that is a very true statement. They are effectively idols when it comes down to it. It's the next evolution of idol worship when it comes down to it. So
and you don't have to go to a cramped, smelly theater thing just to see if you know see their performance. You can just watch them on YouTube.
and in a lot of cases, the pandemic did actually kind of push this into the mainstream.
Well, I mean that's when we had the Ian ones come out.
Yeah.
So, obviously, all the other ones, the Japan Hololive has been around for, two or three years now? So, probably more than that, but... Anyways, just an interesting thought. I honestly think, because every time I see a new set of VTubers popping up on my Twitch or Twitter feed, it's like, scroll past. I'm done. Like, I can't... You literally have to full-time it now just to keep up with all these VTubers. There's just so many. Which people do, so... Good on them. But, yeah. That's it. That's all the news that seems important to us that should be important to you because it's important to us, it's important to you. Let's dive into our community. We have a little bit of time to cover some of our community. It's been a pretty topic-filled discussion, which I think is fantastic. So, that's always good. I do want to jump forward in the questions and don't know why I'm not loading further into the questions that I wanted to get to. But... What are we doing? Load. Oh, there we go. Okay. I'm going to jump forward. Butai, you're our lucky contestant to have your question read before everybody else that posted theirs a while back. Because it's technically time sensitive, so I don't want to not cover this one. But yeah, you can ask us questions by going to the main website, tacospear.com. There's a contact us button at the top there. Definitely submit a question there. Actually, I'm going to do this a different way. Please, somebody go to otakuspirit.com and go to the contact us button and submit a question in there because I don't know if the system's working or not. Because we just updated our website because thankfully our hoster screwed up our entire database and stuff. But we just updated it. And so I had to get a new contact us submission form. So I don't know if it works or not. So I'm hoping a lot of people will go over there and submit a question just to see if it works. It's an easy way of tricking people. Don't say
there
anything.
You go.
I'll make sure to cut that part out. Anyways, but yeah, you can also go to the forums where you can sign up there, talk to some great people, including Butai, who we got this question from.
Hey, I thought you were being honest, so.
That is technically true. I don't even know if it works. I'm getting a lot of spam now, so glad to get this new version of contacting submission form, because apparently it's a lot more susceptible to spam than our old one. I would use the old one, but it's broken.
That's kind of sad that at some point the new system is more vulnerable than the old system because they're actually attacking the new system right now. And they all gave up on the old system.
That's crazy, man. Cool. Never mind. It's a spam.
I hope our forums didn't start randomly getting spammed again. It's been a while.
Please don't jinx it.
They actually have been chill for a while.
Well, how's it been since the update?
I haven't seen any since the update.
Okay, I'm curious. That'd be cool if that helped a lot with that. I know that a lot of the updates are around the idea of stopping spam, but sometimes it just welcomes more.
I just figured whatever you did to lock them out had been working really well, so.
Well, I know that we did. See, that's the question mark that I have now is because a lot of our prevention was around blocking most all emails providers. So a lot of the more easy to dupe email providers, we were having to block them. And I think I kind of limited it to services like Gmail and stuff. And even then, there was still spammers coming through Gmail.
Yeah.
But it was a little more difficult to do through Gmail because it requires like a phone and everything like that, which is, again, easily spoofable, but it is what it is. Maybe now with the new system, I might pull that restriction off because I do have people that try to sign up to the forums and they have to contact us because we have to activate it because it's not allowed unless it's a certain Gmail, which sucks for people that are like in college and stuff and they have an edu account that's blocked. So maybe I'll take that restriction off just to see if it floods back in or not. But
it does. To be fair, for everybody to understand, it does get overwhelming for us. I mean,
we do try to keep up with that. But at some point, it becomes so overwhelming. It's like I'm spending more time taking off
spams. So that's when you go there and you're spending your time taking off spam and not actually talking to people.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, yeah, you can go to the forums, sign up there, talk to some great people there. And then, you can also submit a question there. And you can also email andrew@talkspear.com. But yeah, you can also take part in the community watch along, which that's what Butai is pretty much asking us about. So since the community is currently watching Squid Girl for the watch along, I was wondering what you two had thoughts on it. So far, my thoughts are it's funny, but not roll on the floor funny. The animation is really good for a comedy of 2010. And finally, the squid puns are squidiciously painful. I'll see myself out. One last question.
You didn't see yourself out if you are.
Yeah, he's like, I'm done. Later, guys. Oh, by the way, also a last question. So one last question. I'm craving more shows like this suddenly. Are there any other comedies from this era that have the same feel as Squid Girl? Anyways, keep on squidtastic work on YouTube channel and podcast. Okay, seriously, I'll go now. No, I was talking to Chris about this earlier. It's like, I can't remember. I know I watched Squid Girl. It's just, it's one of those ones where it's like, it's technically pretty skit-based, if I remember correctly. And so, like, you'll have a segment where it's like the first episode's three segments, and it's three different kind of skits. And I think because of that kind of skit-based, you know, here's this next thing that they're going to face off in. Here's all the comedy surrounding that one thing, and then cut to the next scene. Now, here's the main focus, and we're going to do comedy around that. So I feel like something like that is easily forgotten, but I do remember it. I remember a lot of things about it. I just couldn't really tell you full thoughts. But it definitely, I rewatched the first episode just for this, and I really do feel like it's one that I want to get back to watch, because it does have a really fun feel to it. For those that don't know, I think there are like, just getting up to the end of the first core with the watch along, and there's two seasons, two cores technically of it. So if you guys want to jump along with it, you can get involved. But I might end up rewatching through it while you guys are doing that. It's a lot of fun. It's a really cute little show. I think it definitely fits into, especially with the first episode, he has that feeling of like the delusions of grandeur character. She thinks she's like this, you know, she is technically a squid girl. She has this squid hair that kind of attacks things, but she's got this whole feeling like she's come to the land of humans onto, you know, dry land to take over the world. And yeah, it's got that kind of goofiness about it, pointing out, you know, hey, by the way, you have to take down billions of people and there's army and everything like that. And then she starts panicking. But yeah, I think it's cute. I really enjoy it. I don't know. I kind of have a little feel of maybe a Jahi mix.
I was getting ready to say Jahi. Absolutely feels like, sounds like Jahi. It's been a long time since I watched
it. Jahi has the same feel where it's very skit based. And Nana Biori technically does too, but Nana Biori can have like an entire episode span one story. But it feels kind of Nana Biori as well. So I don't know.
It sounds like it could fit in the same category as, what was the Schoolgirls, where they had a lot of, now it doesn't have the delusions of grandeur. Well, here and there they do, because they're goofy girls.
Hey guys, you remember that show about the schoolgirls? That one. Yeah. That's definitely the one. The one with the schoolgirls.
It's the one where they're geeky otaku. KyoAni.
Geeky otaku and KyoAni did it.
With the freaking donut with the chocolate in it, or red bean paste in it.
Oh, Lucky Star?
Lucky Star. That has a lot of skit-based comedy as well. But it doesn't have as much take into consideration, it unless it's has to do with the actual joke. A lot of your four comma comics are like that. So
just look for anything that's four comma manga, and you'll find what you're looking for.
Pretty much.
that's narrowing down things a lot. I don't know. I really didn't expect this part to be in the question, so I didn't pre-establish anything. But
I mean, it if you're looking for, because when I was scanning through your guys' watch along, I automatically got the two mixed up. I thought you were talking about Moromi-san, which is kind of similar. It's not. I'm I debate on whether or not it's as funny because I it's been a long time since I watched Squid Girl, so I'm a little bit at a loss on that one. But Moromi is such a goofy, just absurd comedy, and so that's not quite the same as far as comedy is concerned. But as far as a it's a lot more aquatic character based. So, and whereas Squid Girl is pretty much focused on Squid Girl. Now your Moromi-san is just more absurd skit based because of the absurdity. It goes way off the handle in a lot of cases. Girl's obsessed with her eggs.
Yeah, Azumanga Daioh is really great. Maybe three leaves, three colors. Like, I don't know why I couldn't get that second part out. It just kind of got stuck in my mouth. It happens every now and then. It sucks because there's one in the back of my head that I literally was struggling to remember if, as I was watching the first episode again of Squid Girl, I was constantly remembering other parts, and I think it was in relation to a different show that has a similar kind of opening, but I can't place it. And I'm kicking myself right now because I can't place it. Minami K, that's a good one. I think that's not, it's different humor, but it definitely feels similar. So maybe Minami K, good luck finding it anywhere because I don't know why every streaming service like throwing it off at some point. I don't know why.
Maybe you could throw in Zvezda. That's a girl with the delusions of grandeur, and
yeah, if you're specifically looking for that.
Pretty much everything is revolved around that concept.
It's very specific. I mean, everything else I don't think feels like it, but I think if you're looking for specifically the delusion of grandeur, I think you're good on that one. I'd agree with that. Everything else just feels way different with that. Because I think you were specifically talking about things that are more kind of more laid back with that, right? Oh, Kanagi? I think Kanagi was the other one that I was trying to think of. Is it Kanagi? Yeah, Kanagi. Maybe I was just thinking because of the blue hair. Mm-hmm. You can try Kanagi. I think that was the one that I kept thinking about when I was watching Squid Girl that I was trying to remember. Because I think that was about the same time. If I remember correctly. But that's basically this girl is, I think she was like a stump of like this ancient tree or something like that. And then she incarnates into a girl. Yeah, she's a trunk of a sacred tree. He basically carves out a statue for a school project. Then it ends up becoming her or something like that. Yeah, 2008. So that was about the same time. Kind of has that same feeling too. I don't know. The 2000s had a lot of goofy kind of skit comedies like that were coming out at the time.
Wadi.
The Cat Planet Cuties and stuff like that was more of the etchy side of that kind of stuff. Which is sadly, I think I missed a lot of it because I was kind of not in the mood at that time and I kind of was just getting back into anime, so I might have missed some of that. But like I said, I think 2000s has its own feel. But I think that's kind of the feel of everything. Like the 90s has its own feel, the 2000s has its own feel. So, I don't know. If I think of anything else before maybe the next discussion, which we'll have in a couple weeks, maybe we'll bring it up again. But it definitely has its own unique feel that I think was kind of set to that particular time period. But yeah. Let's see. Let's do one more because we skipped ahead. Hey, guys. This is from Watkins, sent into our contact us page. Says, I'm not sure if you guys can help, but I thought it's worth a shout out. Earlier this year, or sometime last year, I saw an anime promo which really caught my eye. The anime was set in some sort of British colony, and the citizens decided to uprise against the government or something like that. It looked really interesting, and I love British-themed shows. No, it's not Code Geass. No worries if it doesn't ring a bell. I can't find it on the internet, and I wish I saved the promo. It's probably a promo for a mobile game.
It's possible. I'm going to throw this out there. There was... Which one was it? I'm trying to look at the list. Oh, Rose King. Requiem of the Rose King is the one that kind of popped up as a show that's coming up soon. And it would probably fit in with your... I seen a promo this long ago.
and it's one that's coming out that has not actually released, which would explain why you haven't found it. However, there's one big problem with this one. It doesn't quite fit what you're describing as a British colony that is rising up against the basically the monarchy or the government. So take that into consideration, and before we actually dig into the rest of this, one of the main problems with the we're basically trying to guess at what you're exactly explaining, because there's not. I understand why you could not find anything, because if you look up British colony anime, you're going to get gobs and gobs of Italia.
Italia. It's not Italia.
So take that into consideration. I agree. This is a pain in the butt to look for. And there's not a lot of actual British colony themed anime.
If you've seen it, on YouTube, you can check your history, by the way. I'm not sure if you were on logged in or on YouTube, but yeah, that's the problem. Like, seeing a promo is kind of hints that it's probably something new. If it popped up on your feed, it's probably something more new. And if it was something more new, then that just throws me into things like maybe it's for 86 or something, because that would give me the feeling of it being an uprising or something. But I don't know that you would necessarily have a British feel to the Alba or San Magnolia.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is a lot of this stuff is just guessing. It almost sounds like you're kind of specifically, because if you got the first inclination of British colony rising up against the government, you would automatically think, like you were saying, it's not Code Geass. And I agree that would be the first inclination, because they are literally Britannia going up against the government. So, but also, by saying it's not Code Geass, are you saying that there is no Mecha? Because then you have got a lot of... Because there's the frustrating thing is, if you see some of the background-ish stuff, then you would go into other Mecha, like Gundam. Because a lot of the Gundam set pieces are in British-looking backgrounds. However, it's in space, so it's not quite a British colony, and they are technically uprising against a government. So there's a lot of things involved in that kind of restrict, and also at the same time, we need more information on this this thing. Now, the ones that I found, are you looking for, was it a magical girl? Because that would lean towards Maria the Virgin Witch. Some of the more, if it's not necessarily a British colony, quote unquote, you've got, like I said, Requiem of the Rose King, Rose of Versailles, back to the magical girl, you got Ulysses, Joan of Arc, and the Alchemist Knight. Art, while it is technically in a, what I would theme as a colony setting, it is, I think, French colony, isn't it? You finished it. Was there any uprisings in that one?
In which one?
Art.
No.
Because that was the frustrating thing about that one, because when I seen that one, I thought, hey, this would maybe work, but I don't think it was more of a drama romance type show. It never had any of that in the background, as far as I knew.
A Princess Principal, obviously.
Yeah. Le Chevalier d'Eon, Moriarty of the Patriot, which was another one that I thought maybe, possibly, that one was a solid fit for it. However, that one is a more of a crime-solving slash quote-unquote type show. It's based on the Sherlock Holmes ideal.
Yeah.
Emma, the Victorian romance, I wasn't sure if there was any uprising in that
romance.
One. Go Sick fits the aesthetic. However, that's another crime drama, or it's actually a spiritual crime drama type thing. And Isetta the Last Witch is German, European type stuff. But that's going back into the technology side. Yeah, so you can go a lot of
Tanya the Evil in that respect too.
Yeah, Tanya the Evil did come up in my thoughts as well. The problem is that all of these are aesthetically
I'm going more for the aesthetic because there is no specifically British colony, quote unquote British colony, because I even went so far as to look at specific time period pieces because of the fact that that's the only way to actually fit what you're asking for. There wasn't even any really American Revolution type animes, which would fit exactly what you're asking for as well.
Yeah, the whole uprising concept, I think, is going to be the difficult part to find, really, because it's not really that there's anything that specifically covers that.
Yeah.
I'm curious if Moriarty Patriots does anything like that. But yeah, like you said, it's technically more Sherlock Holmes and Moriarty that is technically focused on. Not really crime, but just the... I mean, that is the concept. I mean, it's literally the idea of tearing down the nobles. And maybe that technically falls in that. I don't know. I would have to check into Moriarty Patriots and see where it goes with that story. Because the whole concept there is that him essentially utilizing the nobles to take down the nobles. And that could be that sense of... I mean, the nobles are technically what is the power in that time. So that might be it. It might be Moriarty the Patriot, because that's here recently too. So you would probably see a PB for it. But I don't know. I need to go back and get caught up on that series because I've heard a lot of good things about it and I was liking it, what I did watch. So you might look into PBs for Moriarty the Patriot and see if that might be what you're looking at.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best case scenario of what you're looking for.
But the British colony thing is really throwing me off, mm-hmm. honestly, because I don't like what of anime is that aesthetic besides things like, you know, a nod here and there with like Fina Pirate Princess or something.
Yeah, I thought about Fina the Pirate Princess as well, but that's not all uprising. Well, I was going more towards that's all on the ocean. So that's definitely not a British colony.
All on the ocean. They go to different places and they get off their boat. They don't stay on the boat. It was like the most unpiratey pirate show ever. How much time they were on boats was very minimal.
Now, Vinland Saga was another one that did cross my mind. However, that is not very, very... Well, no, it did. They did go into England, didn't they?
Paris, yeah. I mean, they technically do have like an entire segment of them trying to take down Paris and stuff. I mean, that's technically the blank on the name of them.
Now, to take into consideration, some of the ones that I'm mentioning in the list that I gave you, Vikings. A lot of them are...
Vikings. Vikings, blanket on Vikings.
A lot of them are French, because the Japanese love French
Jean d'Arc
stuff. Yeah, Jean of Arc and all that stuff. So, like Rose of Versailles is technically French, if I remember right. So, take that into consideration. They kind of love a certain aesthetic. And sometimes the British aesthetic, you'll get it here and there, but they love Victorian stuff. That is their thing. So, yeah, that's where all of your Lolita outfits come from, is Victorian. So,
yeah, there's a huge fashion. It's funny because that was the kind of thing that I was impressed with Emma, is with how much they like to romanticize that aesthetic. Emma was like the first case where I'm like, this is actually really well done, that it actually doesn't feel like it's trying to Japaneseize this aesthetic. It was literally they were going for that time period in that area. Because typically it's usually just them trying to just borrow. I mean, like Izzy or Rabbit, it's technically borrowing a lot of that aesthetic into that, because again, that's more of the maiden Lolita outfit kind of stuff. So, or goth Lolita. Anyways. Yeah, hopefully you got something out. Like, I guess if you could search all 50 of those titles that we just listed out, maybe you'll end up finding the PB of the one. I'm really stuck on the Moriarty thing. I wonder if that one might be it. But again, not, it doesn't really feel like British colonizing.
Like I said, I think
kind of
that
thing.
One.
But I think I would think they do have an uprising aspect in that somewhere.
Yeah, I think that one's probably the best pick out
it's
of
most
the
most recent.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so it would be between that, as far as I'm concerned. I lean towards that, and Requiem of the Rose King, I don't quite lean towards, mostly because, yes, it is a British... It's basically the Rose Wars. And so, yes, it could, but it's not exactly British colonies. It's basically the monarchy during a time of massive... The Game of Thrones is based on the Rose Wars, to give you an idea. So there's going to be a lot of subversion and all that stuff. So,
you know, the best answer you can get is going to be on our YouTube channel. We'll have a video made for this particular anime cast question, or this anime cast discussion podcast. We will have an actual video made for it, and hopefully somebody listening to this that are just literally throwing things going, it's this show, he's talking about this show.
Yeah, which
I'm
true.
Sure there's like 50 people that are doing that right now. Look for an anime cast video on Otaku Spirit on YouTube. So just go to youtube.com/otaku spirit. You will find a video from us for this anime cast on the 23rd of November, maybe the 24th of November, depending on how fast I can edit and put it up. Look for that video and look at the comment section. I'm sure there will be somebody either spoiling Mushoku Tensei again, or telling you which show they hate the fact that we're not mentioning as we're talking about it. So that's where the fun comes in. But anyways, that's it. I think we'll call it a quits with that one. Thanks to Butai for just kind of nudging himself into the line, because he knew that if he brought up something that was more time sensitive, he would get in front of the line. So props to Butai for pulling that off. Thanks to Watkins for submitting the question that we have zero clue how to answer, but hopefully somebody else will answer for us. But yeah, appreciate you guys sending in the questions. Continue to send them in, because like I said, I need to check to see if the contact us button works on otakuspirit.com now. So hopefully you guys can help me out to test that out. Totally not baiting anybody. But anyways, I hope you guys enjoy this discussional podcast episode. It was a lot of fun. A lot of discussion of the news topics, which I always enjoy. So hope you guys enjoyed as well. And as usual, you guys can support us by going to otakuspirit.com, going to all the links on the right to support us through the Patreon tips link, also going to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/otakuspirit, and subscribing there and checking out our videos there. We definitely appreciate everybody that does. Also, you can support us by checking out our live streams, which I think right now, the only super concrete one we have, which we're doing every single week, which I think is great that we're keeping up on it, is our Friday live stream, which we do Hatsune Miku, and we get the YouTube algorithm to yell at us because we play Hatsune Miku music, which apparently for some reason they don't want us to do. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of chat in there.
Hey, I can't help that my sinuses are going stupid.
What?
I can't help that my sinuses are going stupid.
No, well, see, me too. I haven't really been keeping up on my live stream schedule. Last week was because our website broke, and I literally stayed up all night the night before fixing it. But I'm trying to stream on every Wednesday. Might do that this week, because Thursday is technically Thanksgiving. Don't really want to stream on that day. But we'll probably be here on Friday as well. But yeah, anyways, hope you guys enjoyed this discussion podcast episode. As usual, y'all take care.
Oos!